The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefona Ve'Leisav Ochiv. Yaakov sent Malochim, either the messengers, Rashi tells us, angels from the Medrash, to Esav, his brother, Atzaseyas Deyadim. Now this is speaking that after Yaakov returned, is returning from the house of Lavan, after he married Rochel and Leah, and after he had all of his children except Binyamin, and he's returning to Eretz Israel, and he hears that Esav is coming to meet him. And if you recall, he had fled from Esav many years before, because Rivka's mother told him to go away, because Esav had threatened to kill him, because he had stolen the brochas from his father Yitzchok from Esav. So he sent Malochim, and he commanded them, saying, this is what you shall tell my master Esav. That this is what your servant Yaakov says, that I have lived with Lavan, I have dwelled with Lavan, and I have been there till now. And I'm sending you from my gifts, from my possessions, in order that I shall find favor in your eyes. And then these messengers came back, and they said that Esav is coming, Arba Meas Ishimai, with 400 men. In other words, Esav was prepared for war. So Yaakov divided the camps. He said, in case one camp is destroyed, then the other one will be saved. And he prepared himself for war. And then Yaakov prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatzileini no miyad ochi miyad Esav, save me from the hand of my brother, the hand of Esav. Ki yore anechi yasei pen yove v'yikaneim albonim. Because I am afraid that he will come and he will smite the mother together with her sons. And that night, he prepared a huge gift to send to Esav. The Chazal bring out here that Yaakov prepared himself in three ways for this confrontation. The milchoma, he prepared himself for war, the tefillah, prayer, and lederen, and a gift. And the Chazal teach us that this is what we are to learn whenever we are dealing with the children of Esav. In the Golus, this is how to contend with them. That we must be prepared at all three levels. Right? With tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with gifts to them to try to make peace. And then, if nothing else works, then war. And he prepared the lavish gift, and he told his servants just how to bring it. Vayokum balailohu, and that night, Yaakov got up, Vayikach eshtei nosho veshtei shivchaisov ves'achad osor yolodov, and he took his two wives and the two maidservants and his 11 sons, Vayavar es Mavar Yabik, and he crossed over with them the Mavar Yabik, a certain river. So he was moving his campsite to a place where it would be safe. Vayikochem vayavirem es anochal, and he took all of his possessions and brought it all over the river. Vayaver Esa Shelei. Vayivose Yaakov Levadoi. And then Yaakov returned after everything was brought over. Yaakov returned and he was left alone, and it was at night. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin and of Tzadik Aleph that he returned for Pachin Ktanim, that he had left some small vessels there, so he went back himself. And he was there alone. And there all of a sudden in the darkness, being alone on the other side of the river, a man came and attacked him and wrestled with him. For the entire night until the dawn. The man saw that he could not conquer him. So vayiga bekaf yerechai. So he touched, or he struck, the kaf yerechai. This is the thigh of Yaakov, near the loins. Bateka kaf yerech Yaakov behe ofki imoy. And a specific nerve, which is in that area, was disjointed as he was wrestling with this man. And now this man that was wrestling with him couldn't free himself from Yaakov. So he said, send me away because the morning has come. And Yaakov said, I will not send you away until you bless me. So he said, what is your name? And he said, Yaakov. Your name shall not be Yaakov anymore, but your name shall be Israel. Because Soriso, you have become a ruler. From the word sar, the Targum says Ravravin. You have become a ruler for Hashem, with Hashem, v'manoshim, and over the people. V'tuchal, and you have conquered them. V'yishol Yaakov v'yim agid noshmecho, and Yaakov asked him, what is your name? V'yim elom azit tishal ishmin, he said, why are you asking my name? V'yivorach esay shom, and there he blessed him. V'yikro Yaakov shem amokim pini el, and Yaakov called that place Piniel, Kiriisi Elakim Ponim El Ponim, but Tinotzel Nafshi, because he said, I have seen, Piniel comes from the word face to face, I have seen God face to face, and I was saved. And as the sun came up that morning, and Yaakov was limping on his foot, because this specific nerve, if it's disjointed, then it causes a person, it throws the leg out of place, the muscular area, and it causes a person to limp. Al-Kain, but the Chazal tell us that actually he was cured when the Shemesh, when the sun came up. Al-Kain la-yechlu v'nei-yisrael es-gidah no-she ashe al-kafa yorech adahim azeh. And it's for this reason that the Bnei Yisrael do not eat the gid ha-no-she, this nerve, in any animal, which is by the thigh, until this day. Because the angel touched the thigh of Yaakov, this nerve of the Gid HaNoshe. It's called the Gid HaNoshe because this was a nerve or a tendon which was Noshe Mimkema, which moved out of its place. And until this day, whenever we eat an animal, so we usually do not eat the hindquarters, or if we eat the hindquarters, then the Gid HaNoshe must be removed. This is the story that the Torah tells us. Now what took place, and what is this all about? Rashi brings from Medrash Rabbah, Pishur Azal Shusore Shel Esav. This man that attacked Yaakov was not a man, but rather it was an angel. And what kind of angel was he? He was the angel of Esav. He was the guardian of Esav. Important people have a guardian. They have an angel. So someone like Esav had an angel. And as we were explained in the last two sedras, that Esav was not a simple person. But from Esav was to come perhaps the world's greatest empire, next to Klal Yisrael, which was the empire of Edom. And from here, the empire of Rome. And this was to be the powerful, destructive machine that would eventually destroy almost completely Klal Yisrael, and destroy their Beis HaMikdash, and send them into exile, in the longest exile of our history, which we are still in over 2,000 years, and to rule the world. This is the influence, the whole influence of the Empire of Edom, of the Roman civilization. This modern civilization that we live in today, that basically comes from these people. And the father of this empire was Esav. So Esav had a sar. He had a prince, Lemalo, in the heavens. And here we were coming to a confrontation between Yaakov and Esav. So the Sorai Shel Esav, the angel of Esav, stepped in to intervene and tried to destroy Yaakov. He found that Yaakov wasn't so easy to destroy. He wrestled with him the entire evening, the entire night, and he was unable to conquer him. Now with this, many things are clarified. And Rashi explains. For example, Rashi tells us, what does it mean? Shalcheini ki olo ha-shochar, that the angel said, the morning has come, send me away, let me go. V'tzorech ani leime shira bayim. So Rashi quotes for the Gemara in Chulin Tzadik Aleph. Because since I'm an angel, I have to return to say Shira. I have to say the song, this is my job. And I have to say it at daybreak. So let me go. And then Yaakov told him, Leah shalechacho kiim berachtoni. I will not send you away until you mevorech me, until you give me a brocha. What did Yaakov want a brocha from him for? So Rashi explains, Hodi li al habrocha sheberachani ovi. I want you to admit and to agree to the brochas which my father Yitzchok gave me, she Esav ma'ar alehem, because Esav is protesting against these brochas. He says these brochas are not good. They don't belong to me because I stole them. And since you're the Tsar, you're the prince of Esav, I will not let you go until you mevorech me, until you admit to the brochas. So the angel said, I won't do it, but if you're not going to let me go, I have no alternative. So he said, what is your name? So he said, Yaakov. Now if you recall, when Esav realized that the brochas were stolen from him, he said, now I know why he was called Yaakov. Because pa'amayim akveini, twice he has tripped me up. Why was Yaakov given this name? Because when the twins were born, first came Esav, and then Yaakov, and Yaakov was holding on to the heel of Esav. So therefore they called him Yaakov, Ashema Ekov, from the word Ekov, the heel. So Esav said, now I understand what's the meaning of that. Because if you want to trip someone, you grab him by the heel. He has tripped me twice. First he stole my b'cheirosi, my firstborn right, and now he has stolen the brochas. So the angel asked Yaakov, what is your name? And he said, Yaakov. So he said, Lo Yaakov Yema Eit Shimcho. No longer shall they call you Yaakov. Kim Yisrael, they will call you Yisrael. Because if they call you Yaakov, this means, Rashi says, that habrochas bo'alocho ba'akova b'rmiyo. The brochas came to you through a hakova, by tripping up someone, through deceit. See? And I will admit to you that the brochas rightly belong to you. So you will not be called Yaakov ki im Yisrael, you will be called Yisrael. Yisrael is from the word Tsar, a prince, a king. A king doesn't have to do anything through deceit, he doesn't have to be a thief. If he wants to take something, he takes it openly. Bishroro v'golo iponim, because this will be a sign to everyone that the brochas came to you openly, not through deceit, not through the heel by tripping someone up, but openly. And where will that be? So that's later in the parsha, that the angel told Yaakov, v'seif chesha korish bochu niglo alecho bebeis keil, korish bochu will come to you and he will change your name. Then he said, Ki soriso, why will you be called soriso? Because you have soriso im elekim v'manoshim v'tuchol. You have fought and you have ruled God and people. Now, anoshim, that means Lovan and Esav. Rashi tells us that you lived with Lovan for so many years, and Lovan constantly tried to conquer you, and try to destroy you. Loved Bikesh, he tried Lakares Hakol to completely destroy you, and you conquered him, and you didn't learn from his ways. Im Lovan Galti, and the Chazal Darshan Vitaryag Mitzvah Shomalti, that I have been with Lovan all of this time, but I still have kept the Taryag Mitzvahs, the 613 Mitzvahs. And now also you have conquered Esav. You have fought with Esav, you have fought with the Sheirish, with the source of Esav. That in the spiritual struggle, you conquered Esav also. Rashi doesn't tell us though, what does it mean, Im Elokim, that you have even risen above Elokim. This is something that needs more explanation. Perhaps we could say it refers to the angel, but the Targum says explicitly it refers to Hashem. So this is something which still needs to be explained. Then Yaakov asked him, what is your name? So he said, Loma zeti shalishmi, what are you asking me my name for? I'm an angel. And Hashem made ala etzim. A name tells the essence of the person. And an angel, his essence changes in accordance to his jobs, in accordance to what his duties are. So he said, therefore, why are you asking my name? My name is not important. And then he let him go. The angel left, and the sun came up, and Yaakov was limping on his foot. Another thing that Rashi tells us, the word Vayeovek, that a man wrestled with him, he brings two explanations what that word means. Menachem Pirish, from the word Avak. Avak means dust. Because when two people fight, so they kick up the dirt, the dust starts to rise. This is what it means, Vayeovek. And Rashi says, Li nereshu loshen viskasher. It means wrestling. Two people fight, so they intertwine themselves with one another. This is the parsha. To get a little deeper insight into what's taking place, the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah tells us the Gemara in Afyur Aleph Amud Beis. It's a Gemara we've quoted before. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Oda Acheres Yesh Lehem Bereimi. The Mishnah is speaking of various holidays that the nations of the world would have. So it says, Oda Acheres Yesh Lehem Bereimi. There was another holiday that was kept by the Malchus Revis, the fourth empire. The fourth empire is the empire of Esav, and that's Reimi, Rome. Achas l'shivim shona. They kept this once every 70 years. Mevin odom sholem. Once every 70 years they would make a big assembly. And they would bring an odom sholem, a person who was of perfect physical structure. Umarkivin isay al odom chiger. And then they would bring a person who was a cripple. And they would put the odom sholem, the person who was perfect, on the shoulders of the person who was a cripple. Umalbishin isay bigde odom arishon. And they would take the clothing of odom arishon, of the first man, and they would dress this perfect man with these clothing. Umenichin lei bereishay karkiflei sharbi shmuel. And they would put on his face the karkiflei. Karkiflei is the skin of Rabbi Shmuel. What was that? Rashi tells us
Firstly, where did they get the clothing of Adam Arishon, of the first man? So Rashi says, "Hein bigdei hamudei shohayel Esav." These were the bigdei hamudei that Esav had. In the Sedra of the Brochas, in Parshas told us, so it states, "Vatikach Rivka es bigdei Esav beno hagodl hachamudeis." That Rivka, when she sent Yaakov in to take the broches instead of Esav, so she wanted to disguise him as Esav. So she took Esav's clothes, which she had in the house, and she gave it to Yaakov. Benoha koton. So it states, "Big de Esav benoha godel hachamudes," the very precious clothing. Now the Chazal ask here, what were Esav's clothing doing in Rivka's, by his mother? He had his own home. Why did he keep them by his mother? He had wives. So the Chazal say, because he didn't trust his wives. Therefore, he took his clothing, he left his clothing by his mother. Now, a person must be able to trust his wife at least with his wardrobe. What did he do? I mean, he didn't keep the entire wardrobe by his mother. So, we're speaking of very special clothing. It states, Big de Esav beno hagodl hachamudais. Chamudais means very, very special clothing. So here Rashi tells us a bit. He says, Shechomar esei min Nimrod. He took them, he was chomar min Nimrod, he took them from Nimrod. Nimrod was one of the kings that lived before him, and he stole them from Nimrod. The Chazal say, where did Nimrod get these clothing? These were the clothing of Adam Arishon, of the first man. Says in Bereishis Gimel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayas Hashem in Bereishis Gimel Posek Chof Aleph Vayas Hashem Elokim LaAdam Lishtei Kosneis Or VaYalbishem, that Hashem made for Adam and his wife Kosneis Or, clothing of skins, and he clothed them. So these were these clothing. And these were clothing, you can imagine what they were, if they were made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And they were given to Adam and Chava. So we're not speaking of just regular clothing. These were priceless jewels. And Nimrod, who was a king, he had them. And Esau fought against Nimrod to steal these clothing. So therefore he didn't trust his clothing by his own wife. So he left them with Rivka. And now, Rivka wanted to disguise Esav, Yaakov as Esav. So he put the clothing on, she put the clothing on him. And then ve'es eres gedei izim hilbish al yodov. And also she took skins of goats and put it on the hands of Yaakov. On his hands and his arms and on his neck, because Esav was very hairy, while Yaakov was very smooth, in order to disguise him. We can ask another question. Why would this disguise Yaakov? Was Esav usually accustomed to wear these clothing? So why would this disguise Yaakov? So this is a Gemara. It's a Gemara that states that one of the great rabbis of the Gemara said that he never came to Esav's midah, to Esav's dimension, in honoring his father and mother. Because he said, when I would serve my father, so in the clothing that I prepared the food with, these are the clothing I would wear when I served my father and mother. When Esav would serve his father and mother, he would change from his clothing that he prepared the food with into Bigdei Malchus, and he would wear kingly clothing. Esav was very great in Kibbutz Aveim, in honoring his father and mother. And as we see, that Yitzchok was very close to Esav. Tzayid befiv, he would always bring to Yitzchok whatever he hunted. And this is a mida, this is a quality that went into Esav's children. The Gemara, in several cases, in Masechta Kiddushin, brings examples of Kibbutz Aveim, how great one can go in the mitzvah, from a Roman. Brings several examples. And there's a reason for this, which we do not have time to go into this evening, and we've gone into at other times. But at any rate, this is where the Gemara learns it from. Because we see that in order to disguise Yaakov as Esav, he had to be wearing the clothing of Orem Arishon. So this would imply that Esav, when he came to serve his father Yitzchok, was usually dressed in these clothing. Now, what happened with these clothing? His children inherited them, and they ended up in the treasure houses of the Romans. So once every 70 years, when they would make this great assembly, this great simcha of theirs, they would take out these clothing that belonged to their master, their grandfather, and they would dress an Odom Sholem, a person of perfect physique, they would dress him in these clothing. Then they would take Kakfilo Isha Rabbi Shmuel. What was that? So Rashi says, Kain Godel. Rabbi Shmuel was a Kain Godel. He was the Kain Godel at the time when the Romans overran Yerushalayim. Umeharuge Malchus Hoyo. And he was one of those who was killed by the Malchus, by the kingship of Rome. Umitech Yofei, Nichnes Belev Bas Kesar. And when they wanted to kill him, so the daughter of the Caesar, the daughter of the Caesar, saw his great beauty. He had tremendous beauty. And she had compassion for him. And she begged that they should not kill him. Behifshit or ponov. So what they did is that they did kill him. But they took off the skin of his face. V'chontcho be'afasomen. And they embalmed it. Shetei mikuyemes, that it will always remain intact. V'lei yishtane, and it will not change. V'edayin munach beginzei remi, and it's still in the treasure houses of Rome. So they will take this out for this great holiday, and the one who would, this man who was with his perfect physique and the clothing of Adam Arishan, he would put this on. Then the tolu lei betzavareo miskal reish uzi de piso. They would hang on his neck a jewel, which is called piso. Rashi says, "Pos hu even yukore admi oid." It's a very, very precious stone, ve'ena motzvi be'olam, which is almost not found in the entire world. They would hang on his neck reish uzi. 200, the weight of 200 azuz of Pisa. Tosfos tells us this is a very, very rare stone. And the Gemara says in Masechta, the Gemara says in Gemara in Gittin, Train istre Pisa nochis la'almo, chad b'remi v'chad b'chol eilam kule. Two measures of Pisa, of this stone, came to the world. One measure went to Rome, and the other measure went to the entire world. So they would hang this around his neck. Then umachafin as hashvokim biinoch, they would cover the marketplaces with other types of jewels. Umachrizin lefonov, and everyone would gather, tens of thousands of people, in the big courts. And umachrizin lefonov, and they would shout out in front of him, Sach kirei plaster. Sach means the cheshbon, the calculation. The calculation that Yitzchok gave when Yaakov would overthrow Esav is plaster, is not true. Yitzchok gave a prophecy that that you would rule over your brother, Yaakov would rule over Esav. This is not true. Because we see that Esav rules over Yaakov. The man of perfect physique, this was supposed to be the symbol of Esav. The cripple, this was supposed to be the symbol of Yaakov. Because Yaakov was crippled when he fought against the angel. We see that the clothing of Adam Arishon belongs to Esav. We see the beauty of the Bishmal Kain Godel belongs to Esav. The jewels of the world belong to Esav. And the great courtyards, the great courts and great markets are covered with other precious stones. This also belongs to Esav. So therefore the prophecy that Yitzchok gave, that Yaakov would rule over Esav, is plaster, is not true. Ach v'demorona zayafna. The brother of our master is a zayafna, he's a thief. The brother of our master, Esav, is a thief. What does this mean? This is the reason why the prophecy is not true. Because the brachas didn't belong to him. They belonged to Esav, and he went and stole them, and they were not his. And that's why the brachas did not come through. True. The chamei, and then they say those who watch this great simcha will see it. But the lechamei, but those who have not seen it will not see it. Because it's only shown once in a lifetime. They did this only once every 70 years. Ma'anil ramo b'ramausa ulezayafna b'zayfanusa. What good did all of his deceit and all of his thievery do him? Didn't do him any good at all. Umesayomin. But then they would finish off by saying, Mesayomin bohochi ve'ladein kadyokum dein. But woe is it to him, to Esav, when the other one will get up. When the other one, the one who's been, who's at the bottom, when he will arise, so woe is to him. Because in the prophecy it was, it says that umilaim yom yemotz, that one will take strength from the other, and they will never rule at the same time. Le nismale churbona le nismale tzur ele mechurbona shirushalayim ve le nismale yushalayim ele mechurbona shirtzur. That Esav's cities will be built up from the destruction of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim will be built up from the destruction of Esav. So now that they are on top, it's good. But voy ledein, but woe is it to him when the other one will rise up. This is what the Gemara tells us. The Baral in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael in Perek Tezayin, and also in his Sefer Gevuras Hashem in Perek Samach Zayin, explains some very, very important points in regards to this, which we'll repeat some of them now. Firstly, when Yaakov fought with the Soreshel Esav, he conquered him. And this was to show that Yaakov was greater than Esav. Kisorisi melakim v'manoshi. You rose up over the people, over Lovan and Esav. Batuchal. But from the fact that Yaakov was wounded, this teaches us something else. This teaches us that there was an imperfection in Yaakov. There was a slight imperfection. Had there been no imperfection, then the angel would not have been capable of wounding him. And therefore he wounded him on the thigh. Why the thigh? This we'll speak about in a few minutes. And the children of Esav knew this. That's why they portrayed this episode with a person who is strong and a person who is a cripple. And the one who is strong can ride the one who is crippled because he was a cripple, because he was wounded by the angel. It was this that gave them their strength over him. And he was wounded because there was some imperfection there. Then it states that they took the clothing of Orma Rishon. What was Esav doing with the clothing of Orma Rishon? How did he end up with it in his children? Orma Rishon was given two gifts. States in the Torah, Vayivar Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him. Kidmuseinu Betzalmeinu Kidmuseinu Betzalem Elokim. He created him in the image of Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the first man his own image. And then it states that he made for him clothing, Kosnus Orval Yalbishem, and he clothed him. So these were the two gifts that he gave to Orma Rishon, the first man. The Tzelem Elokim, the image, this is the essence of man. This is the spirit of man. The spirit which he's imbued with by the Almighty. And we've spoken in the past at length that the Tzelem Elokim, the sages tell us, is the Or Ponov, shows itself in the light, the radiance of the face. It states when a person is living, there's a radiance in his face. When he dies, his face immediately becomes completely pale. He loses this light. And it was because of this Selim, this radiance, which shows itself in the radiance of the face, that the man became master of the world. Bayirdu bidgas hayam, that you will rule over the world from the depths, from the fish in the sea, to all of the animals. The Gemara brings out that we see that Atinek ben yema in a tzorek shmir min ha'achborim. A child that's born, you don't have to guard him from the rodents, because he has the Tzelem Elokim, he has the image of Hashem, and this casts fear on all of the creations. But og melech haboshon, meis tzorek shmir min ha'achborim. But og, the king of Boshon, who was a giant, when he's dead, you have to guard him from the rodents. Because the Tzelem, the image of Hashem, that spirit has departed, no longer is a king in this world. This is what man was imbued, this inner spirit, this inner power, this inner perfection to rule. And we've also mentioned in the past that man was created upright, because B'Tzelem Elokim, he was created as a king, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore he walks upright. While this image and the spirit was given to no other creations, therefore they all go on all fours. Ke'avdo kamimori, like a servant before a master. So this is one gift that Orma Rishon was given. A second gift he was given was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made clothing for him. Kosnus Or. And we have a posuk in Tehillim where the Pasuk states in Tehillim Ches, V'koved v'hodot ha'atrehu. This refers to the first man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu crowned him, ornamented him with koved and hodor, with honor and beauty. This refers to the clothing of Adam HaRishon. He beautified him with clothing. Clothing is the honor of a person. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Rabbi Yechanan says in Shabbos Kufiyu Dalad Omar Aleph, Le'elam Le'i Korisi Le'monei Monei Ela Machbedeisai. I always refer to my clothing not as clothing but as my honor, because it is clothing which honors a person. This honors the man. So the Marishan was given these two elements, these two gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to make him the complete person. When it comes to honor, this is in relation to the world around us. Because honor is always the way we relate to others. If a person would live totally in a vacuum, totally isolated, there would be no such thing as honor, as covet. Honor has to do with the way we relate to the world. The Tzelem Elohim, the image which was given to him, the essence of man, this has to do with inner man. So he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made a complete man. He made him with an inner spirit, and then he garbed that spirit with hodor and kovod, with a great honor. He ornamented it. Now, if you recall, those of you who were at the past two shiurim, we spoke of Yaakov and Esav. It states that by Yisraitzitzu Habonim, that when Rivka was carrying them, there was a tremendous turbulation, a tremendous strife. Every time she went after, past a place of idolatry, so there Esav wanted to come out. And when she went past a Beis HaMedrash, a place of Torah, Yaakov wanted to come out. And there was a tremendous strife going on, and she wanted to know what was happening. And they told her, Shnei Le'umim, you are bringing up two great empires. Two of the mightiest empires that will occupy the world. And the Chazal say, Hoyamerivin benach leshnei alamos. They were fighting over the inheritance of the two worlds. These two sons, they were fighting over the inheritance of two worlds. Yaakov was miyuchad le'ilam habo. Yaakov was geared towards the perfection of the world to come, towards the spiritual world. And Esav was geared towards the physical world. And we also went into length, where it tells of the Torah very concisely, but very deeply, tells of their qualities. It states that Yaakov was Ish Sayed, he was a man of the hunt. And it's explained there that he had the power, was the man of the hunt, and he explains there that he was had the power of deceit. He was able to deceive people, and even deceive Yitzchok. And this has to do with this world, because this world is an Alma de Shikra. This world is the superficial world. And you deceive people, this is all superficially, because he was not, his mouth was not like his heart. And Yaakov was Ishtam, Yeshiv Olim. Yaakov was perfect. Kilibai came Piv. Whatever his heart thought, this is what his mouth said. He was not a dual personality. He was not superficial. Yeshiv Olim, he dwelled in the tents of Torah. And Torah is Emes. Torah is not superficial. So Yaakov was to be the master of the spiritual world. Esav was geared to be the master of the physical world. And Yaakov was also called Kadosh in many places. Kadosh Yaakov. Because He was to rise above the physical world, become sanctified, while Esav was to fall into the depths of the physical world. Now, Adam HaRishon was given both of these attributes. And therefore Yaakov inherited one element from Adam HaRishon, and Esav inherited the other. Yaakov inherited from Adam the Tzelem Elokim, the spiritual power, the image of Hashem, which Adam was imbued with. This Yaakov inherited. And we find, the Gemara tells us in Bab Metzia, in Perek HaSeches HaPelim, Daf Pei Dalet Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, Shufra de Yaakov, Kishufra de Adam. The radiance of the face of Yaakov was like the radiance of the face of Adam HaRishon. So we see that Yaakov inherited the spiritual powers of Adam HaRishon. The clothing, on the other hand, which had to do with the physical element of Adam HaRishon, this Esav inherited. So therefore the spirit went to Yaakov and the clothing went to Esav. And therefore when they make this great simcha, so they take the clothing of Adam HaRishon and they put it on this person. Then they take the skin of the face of Rabbi Shmuel and they put that on the person also. What does this designate? This has to do with Yefi, with beauty. Beauty is very close to this world. And this is something that the children of Esav Edom wants. Because they're so attached to this world, they want beauty. So they have it. They took it. But this they didn't get legally. The clothing, maybe. But this they stole from Yisrael. They had to kill the Rabbi Shmuel and take it from Rabbi Shmuel. Because beauty, although it's very much related to this world, but such a beauty has a source in the spiritual world. And Rabbi Shmuel was the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. The high priest served in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash was full of beauty. And the Beis HaMikdash was full of light. Beauty is with the radiance of light. And it states that the light was created from the same place where the Beis HaMikdash is. And that's why the Kohen Gadol Rabbi Shmuel had such beauty. But since this is so close to their world, because this is something now that everyone sees, this is not only an inner power, but this is something which shines exterior, into the exterior. So they wanted it. And they stole it. They stole it from Israel. So now they take the skin of Rabbi Shmuel and they dress up also this man that's supposed to symbolize Esav. They dress him in this skin. Then they take jewels. Jewels, especially such rare stones, are not necessarily a symbol of beauty, although they are very beautiful, but are not necessarily a symbol of beauty. They are more a symbol of chashivas, of prestige and of status, of status. Like you see, you always refer to the crown jewels. Every crown has jewels in it. And it's because they're so rare. Because they are so rare, therefore they belong to a king. Because it brings this great status and prestige with it. And this Malchus, this empire, was an empire that seeked great status and prestige. Therefore, they would take the pisa, the pas, that Rashi would tell us is an even yekora ad me'od, a very, very precious jewel, ve'ino motzi be'olam, and you cannot find it. Half the entire amount that came to this world went to Rome. And they take it out, and they adorn their Esav with it. Because this is a third attribute that they're after. And this also has to do with the superficial world, because prestige and status, it's not speaking about the prestige and status that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested. Speaking about the prestige and the status, their aristocracy, what the world wants to recognize. So they adorn themselves with this jewel. Then, a fourth thing the Gemara mentions. And that is, Hoyim Achapines Ashuk, they would cover their great courts with all types of precious stones. This means they would adorn their places. The Romans were great builders. They built cities, and they built marketplaces, and they built great palaces, and they built great bathhouses. The Gemara speaks of it. And to them, this was something of utmost importance. They must have placed tremendous value on it. As we see, so much energy and effort went into it. They built great cities. And they would adorn these places with jewels. This is also a sign of this world. Because this world being a physical world, then something in this world must have a place. Every physical entity must have a physical place. And if Esav was the master over the physical world, this means his physical place would be greater than all. By Yaakov it states Yosheva Olim. He dwelled in a tent. Another Gemara that finds that we find that Yaakov in this world is a nirdof. He's driven from one place to the other. Where is his place? So the explanation is because this is not his world. If it's not his world, then he has no place. He's destined for greater things. But by Esav, that this was his world, then he adorned the most beautiful and the finest places in the world. Therefore, they would adorn the marketplaces and the courts and the streets for this ceremony. So we see four things were mentioned here. Well, firstly, they would take the Odom HaSholim. They would take a person who was of perfect health and perfect physique. This was the sign, because they were the perfection of this world. And they would give him the clothing of Odom HaRishon, of the first man. Because this was their inheritance in the first man. And clothing is what adorns a person, what gives a person honor. And honor has to do with this world. Because this is klapei chutz, this is in regards to how others see it. And they were the masters of this world, and of the superficial world, of the physical world, the physical shell of the spirit. And then they would give this person beauty. Now this beauty, even though they didn't have in their own right, they stole it from Israel. They would take the beauty of Rabbi Ishmael that came from the Beis HaMikdash, and they would dress this person in it. And then they would give this person rare jewels. These were the kingly crown jewels, which could not be found in the entire world, which would give the prestige of nobility and aristocracy. And then they would adorn all of their places, their streets and their courts. And this would be the ceremony. Yaakov Avinu, he was the master of the spirit. Now there was truth, there was an element of truth in what they had foreseen. Because they saw Esau riding Yaakov because he was a cripple. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin that when the angel attacked Yaakov and they fought the entire night, when they wrestled, and if you recall, Rashi brings two interpretations, that he'ofka means to wrestle, but it also comes from the word ovok, which means dust. The Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, melamed shehelu avak miragleisom at kisei akovet. The dust from their wrestling went up from the earth all the way up to the throne of the Almighty. What does this mean? The Gemara tells us that when Yaakov had a dream and angels were going up the ladder and down the ladder, or down the ladder and up the ladder, so the Gemara tells us that they were all excited because they saw on the throne of the Almighty, they saw the image of Yaakov Avinu hewed out into the throne of the Almighty. And then they saw the same image in this man that was sleeping. So they wanted to kill him, because here they felt a man from this world has stolen an image from the throne of the Almighty. So Hashem Nitzav Olav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to stand over him to guard him. Yaakov's image was on the Kisei Yaakov, was on the throne of the Almighty. Because Yaakov had inherited the Tzelem Elohim, he became the master to perfect the image of the Almighty, which was given to the first man. And this is how close he came to the Almighty, that his image was hewn out in the throne of the Almighty. Now we don't find in any other place where an angel should fight with a man. This is the only place we find it. And this was because of the level of Yaakov Avinu. Usually, angels might struggle with angels, but not with men. Men will struggle with men. Yaakov had risen to such a great level. We spoke a few weeks ago that when Yaakov left his father's home, so he went for 14 years, and he studied Torah in the Beis HaMedrash of Eved. Then he went to sleep on that place, and states that's the first time he lay down at night. Otherwise, for 14 years, day and night, he was studying Torah where he never lay down. And this was his midah, his quality of Torah. And he became so great in Torah that he had this dream. And then from there, he went on to the house of Lavan, where he stayed another 20 years. And in the house of Lavan, he continued to study Torah. And he continued to rise and to grow. Im Lavan gati v'tayag mitzvah shamati. But even in the house of Lavan, where 100 times he tried to deceive him, and he had all of the tzorish, still there he studied Torah and grew in greater heights in Torah mitzvahs. And by now he had reached the point where he was Yaakov Avinu, he was the perfect person. He was the Bechir Sheba Oves, the masterpiece of all of the Oves, of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He was to the point where he was producing the 12 sons, where each one were perfect. This was the foundation of Klal Yisrael, and the foundation of the nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Abraham, that would come from him and bring Torah to the world. This was Yaakov Avinu. And all through these years, he sanctified himself, and he rose to great heights that no man ever paralleled. This was Yaakov Avinu. At this point now, he was to a level where an angel could fight with him. And therefore the Sora Shel Esav, the angel of Esav, came to fight. Vayis'avek, and the avak afar raglehem, the dust of their feet rose all the way up to the Kisei HaKovod, the Gemara says, to the throne of the Almighty, because this was the shorish, this was the source of their milchoma. Had Yaakov not been at that level, then he wouldn't have anything to do with angels. But because he was at that level of the throne of the Almighty, that's where the war was. And the angel came to fight. Perhaps one could ask, if that's the case, why didn't the angel fight with Odom HaRishon, with the first man? The first man also was given the image. Yaakov was much greater than the first man. The first man was called Odom. Why was he called Odom al Shem HaAdomo? Because he was made from the earth, which means he was made from the earth. He was given a soul, but he was still called Odom. Ki min ha'adomo lukocho, because you were taken from the earth. Even though he was given a soul, his name was still Odom min ha'adomo, from the earth. Which means that he never separated himself from the earth. Yaakov was also made from the earth. But he elevated himself, sanctified himself to the point where he rose far beyond the earth, where he would not be called Odom. And his source was by the Kisei HaKovod. So even though Shufre de Yaakov ke Shufre de Odom, that the radiance of Yaakov was that equal of Odom HaRishon, because he inherited that Selim that was given to Odom HaRishon, but he gained even greater heights. And therefore the angel said that your name is no longer Yaakov. Yaakov has a physical name. This refers to the heel of a person. The heel of the person is the end of the person. No, you are not a physical being of Yaakov, but Kesharisi Melakim Biamanoshi Matuchal. You're a Sar B'Shalit. You're a ruler over Elakim. You're a ruler over angels. You're a ruler over people. So this was Israel. Your name shall be Israel. This was the confrontation. Now, there was an imperfection though. Yaakov, in all of his greatness, conquered the angel. But he was wounded. And there was a slight imperfection. And because of that, the angel was able to wound him. And the wound was in the yerech, the leg. And the leg is with the heel. And that's the end of the person. And as we explained, the image of the Almighty has its greatest point in the face of the person, which is just the opposite of the heel. The face of the person is full of light. The thigh and the leg dwells in darkness, the Gemara says. Chochmas Odom Teyaraponov. The wisdom of the Almighty in a person shows forth on a person's face. Doesn't show forth on a person's leg or heel. The angel was not capable. The angel was not capable of ruling over Yaakov wherever the image of the Almighty rested, because Yaakov was the master over the Tzelem Elokim. But at the very end of the person, by his leg, where there it dwells in darkness, that's the only place the angel was able to smite him. The Medrash tells us, Noga Bechol HaTzadikim Shadere Shel Shmad. When he touched him, when he wounded him, he wounded the generation of the righteous that lived during the Shmad, that lived during the time of the Romans, of the Roman exploitations. This means that that wound went into the children, and it was through that that the Romans also were able to wound the children. Had Yaakov been perfect, then Esav would never be able to rule over the children at all. But because there was a small imperfection, and the angel could find one place to wound him, this was not only a wound in Yaakov, but this was a wound in all of the children of Israel in regards to the children of Esav. Now, when they make this great ceremony, so they say, they shout out and they say, what good did all of the brachas do for you? Here we see we have everything and you have nothing. So they shout out and they say, Achva de Marana Zeyafta, that the brother of our master is a thief. What good did all of his deceit and his thievery do? He stole the brachas, but it didn't do him any good. There is truth in that, the Maral writes. Had Yitzchok loved Yaakov with his full heart and had realized just what Esav was, and had given the brachas with his full heart, then there would have been no imperfection in Yaakov. And the angel would never have been able to smite him at all. But because the brachas did have to come through Akova, they did have to come through some type of deceit. Yitzchok was deceived, and he didn't give it with his full heart. He gave them unknowingly. The brachas were good. Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed to it. But there was a flaw in it. And it was this flaw that showed itself in the struggle of Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav. And Noga Bekol HaTzadikim Shadei Rashmad. He injured not only Yaakov, but he injured Yaakov's children that would be born and would have to go through all of the persecution of the Roman Empire. And they felt this, the children of Esav. They said, what good did all of your brachas do? What good did your thievery and deceit do? Because we see Esav still rules. But then they also realize, Voy ledein, kad yokum dein. But woe, oi to this one, when the other one will rise up. Because Yaakov was not called Yaakov anymore. He was given an additional name of Israel, Kisoriso. You have become a ruler over men and over Hashem. And Yaakov will rise up. And when he will rise up, just like he rose to conquer the angel of Esav, then he will rise up to conquer Esav. And Kishakom Zeh Nefal Zeh was the Nebuah. When this one rises up, the other one will fall. So therefore they realized it. They sensed it. That this great sovereignty that they have is only temporary. And just as Yaakov rose up to destroy the angel of Esav, so will he rise up to destroy Esav. This is an explanation in what took place in the Sedra. We should be zeichet to see the time come, b'mheira, very speedily, when Yaakov Avinu will rise up to destroy his great adversary of Esav.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.